go again. The third season of the Simply Create Essex to London Business Owners Podcast. I'm Ray and I am your host. We're so glad to be back. Thank you for joining us. And we can't wait to kick off the first episode of 2020. When I started Simply Create, I was of course learning and reading about some of the great well-known businesses of our time. But really, I wanted to hear from people that were a lot more local to me and that I could reach out to. I wanted to get more involved in a business community that I was hopefully going to be a part of. I started arranging kind of meetings and having conversations with various people and found that they were genuine, helpful, and often really inspiring. I felt I could relate and connect with them more, and so I started recording these conversations as I thought others would also like to hear about experiences of other business owners, their stories, and of course their struggles. Finally, it would be a great chance for Simply Create to do our bit in hopefully giving those businesses some exposure. This is now the third season, and so if you're new to listening, you have loads to catch up on, and if you're returning, welcome back. Now to introduce you to our guest on this episode. His name is James, and he is the co-owner of Serene Fitness based in Romford. Our path crossed over a year ago when I went and did some filming for a sports team, the Essex Spartans, a UK-based American football team. Since then, we've stayed in touch, and last year, he launched his gym. James approaches the questions with great openness and honesty, and I think what sets this gym apart from almost all the others is their ethos around helping people with anxiety and mental health. It's not just a gym, but a place people can feel comfortable keeping and staying healthy. This, as well as also specialising in stroke rehabilitation. With over 30 years experience, passion, and of course personal stories that got them to this point, I thought as January seems to be where many want to get started at a gym, that it was important for others to find out about this local gem. As always, with our podcast, we jump into quick fire questions first to warm you, the listeners, and our guest up. Then we start by finding out the backstory as to why James got into business, how they started, where they are now, and what their plans are for the future. Straight into the quick fire questions. Are Jaffa Cakes a biscuit or a cake?
Cake.
Takeaway or restaurant?
Takeaway.
Instagram or Snapchat?
Instagram.
Tea or coffee?
Ooh, coffee.
Mac or PC?
Ooh, I'm Mac convert now.
Like to hear it, that's what I'm glad to hear that. Autumn or spring?
Autumn.
Music while you work or silence?
While I work, yeah.
Music
yeah.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Speed.
If you could have, what is your least favourite chore?
Mowing the lawn. My wife will agree with that.
One thing you would definitely take to a desert island?
iPod.
Morning person or night person?
Night.
Favourite album, past or present?
Slim Shady LP, I think. One of the first ones I bought, so kind of...
Peanut butter, crunchy or smooth?
Crunchy.
And have you got an either or question you'd like me to ask guests in the future?
Yeah, I suppose, whether they prefer to work indoors or outdoors.
Indoors or outdoors. So future people, you're going to get that question. Okay, so James, no one knows anything about you. We've just jumped in with some random questions, so they know a little bit. But this is your chance to now tell them all about you. So... just give us a rundown of what you enjoy, who you are, where you come from, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so obviously my name's James, and I sort of work in and in around the mental health industry. I've been in fitness pretty much my whole life, in and out, whereas I was in the forces, come out, enjoyed the physical side, found a job in that sort of field. And even when I made the transition into mental health, it was around sports. And I don't know really.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
Yeah, so I originally come from Brentwood, but I've moved around a lot. We joke about my family's like a modern day traveller. We'll literally travel from house to house. My mum will get bored. I think I worked out that I've been to 13 schools. Which probably explains why I could, like, my social anxiety, I made the transition quite easy. I weren't really eager to make new friends, so I weren't really bored when I lost new friends, which is a...
You always thought there's no point, I'm moving on.
Yeah, pretty much. And I weren't really an outgoing person, so I never really made friends easy. So transitioning from school to school was a lot easier for me.
Okay. What about, like, family, hobbies? Yeah, like, what stuff do you enjoy to do outside of work?
Yeah, so... Well, I play for the Essex Spartans, which is
I'd love to say I didn't know that, but
yeah.
Of course I did.
Of course you did, yeah. Which is an American football team based in Essex, obviously. One of two. We've fortunately been promoted to Division One this year, and the only Essex team now in Division One.
Congratulations.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Keeping fit. I'm a massive geek at heart as well, so I love to play the Xbox if I've got time. I sadly don't have a lot of time.
Favorite game?
Oh, I don't know. The Fallout genre.
What about past and present?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a big Fallout fan. I've just finished the new one, the Outer Worlds.
Okay.
So just...
I'm not a big gamer, so that really means nothing to me. But I've heard of it, at least. So, you know.
For the ones that do, yeah. Gears of War, things like that. I jump from game to game. I'm not a massive. I'm more of a role-playing gamer than sports games.
If you had to compare yourself to, like, a game character or a movie character, who would you say you're most like, or who would you say that you'd like aspire to be like, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. I think not in terms of build or anything like that, but what he's done, I think Dwayne Johnson's done well for himself, and he doesn't take himself seriously.
Yeah.
I'd love to be that sort of person. If I was hopefully successful in the future, I don't want to take myself too seriously. I've always joked about with my wife that if I ever made an absolute fortune, I'd probably still shop in Primark because I hate spending money on clothes. I don't think that's ever going to change.
that's fair enough. Well, at least I know where I'll find you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I just go start hanging out in Primark.
Yeah, you just see massive entourage around Primark.
I think he's a great example of someone who's worked hard
definitely
what they wanted and versatile, obviously. Started out in one genre and been able to grow out to a massive movie star now,
and all that kind of stuff. And like, he definitely
and who doesn't love The Rock, right?
Yeah, he's definitely inspiration. Look at it, if anyone ever doubts that you can't, that there's bad foods and good foods, watch what that bloke eats at the end of the day. His cheat days are immense. He's like two pizzas, stacks of pancakes, bacon, maple syrup, the lot. And he's ripped. So people, you've got to eat broccoli and veg and that. It's the only way you're going to get healthy. No, it's not. It's just...
valid point. Now, all I'm going to go do is onto his Instagram saying, and look for all his cheat days.
Oh my God, it's just so impressive, his cheat days. I wish I'd get away with eating that. I think I'd put on weight that day.
So tell us, people that are obviously listening, about how you got to the point you are now in your business. So tell us the legal story. I know we briefly talked just before we came on here, and you gave me, but give it to us in detail. Tell people about the journey of what you were doing and what sparked the idea, and then how you're here.
Yeah, so my journey was a bit of an up and down one. There is sort of, I don't tend to go in too much detail because it stops my family from getting involved in my sort of story, but there are stories out there that I did for a news report about the time where I went on holiday and tried to take my life, because I didn't understand my social anxieties. I weren't aware of it. And then from then on, I just had a busy life, so it never really cropped up again until later on in life. I got involved in the sports industry, fell in love with that, fell in love with helping people. And then some stranger called Wayne Banks come along and absolutely turned my life upside down with this horrendous idea of building a program about people with mental health and getting them into fitness. Mm-hmm. And it was the bane of mine and my now business partner's Neil's life, because where we were operating a leisure center, it was chaos. And over the months, me and Wayne got really close, and he helped me discover about my mental health. And then from then, I had this idea, we're talking about 5-6 years ago, about opening up a leisure center that was fully inclusive, that had no barriers to it whatsoever, absolutely none. It'd have a gym and a martial arts dojo, and you could come in, and if you request help, there'll be staff being able to assist you. And there's absolutely no barriers whatsoever. And if we ever discovered one, we'd destroy it within 24 hours of discovering it. That was the goal. That still is the goal. And then we kept developing that idea, and we tried things and failed things. And through Fitness in Mind was running at that time as well. That was a 12-week program where people with mental health could train for free. Mm-hmm. Found out that physical activity does absolutely wonders for people's mental health, but in a way we never understood. We assumed that people would come in, get fit, and automatically get better. But in fact, we had to work on their mental health to get them fitter, which then in turn improved their mental health. Cool. So we discovered these like trends that had never been discovered before. Discovered we were saving the NHS £3 million every 2 years in social care.
Amazing. And
that sort of sparked it. So me and Neil, my business partner, always joked and said that we was going to own a gym. And then I kept obviously dragging him more into my outrageous ideas of Serene Fitness. And then we sort of started helping. So I got more involved in mental health. So I volunteer for the NHS, and I will help student nurses understand a more holistic approach to mental health. Mm-hmm. So this year, I spoke to 28 different student nurses and explained about a more holistic approach. So when they deal with people in the service industry and people that are in desperate care, they now know of a third method. So you have your therapy, your medication, now they're aware of a holistic approach.
Nice.
So they can introduce that for themselves and be self-aware. And then an opportunity come up to open this little gym. And we joked about it and took a risk, and it happened. So then...
By the way, this is the gym we're actually sitting in.
Yeah, yes.
People that are listening don't know that we're in the gym.
Sorry.
We're actually here. But yeah.
And so he was like, right, so now this is what we call our sort of lab. This is where we experiment with the sort of the barrier stuff. So we've got a mobile fitness app that we use. Our members are not sure what to work out. They just ask us. We can schedule them a workout.
Yeah,
not a problem. We've got a full nutrition and macro calculator set up, so we can get them their calories set up. No extra charge to our membership. We're always on hand to deal with them. So it's like, if they're the only person in the gym at the time, then it's pretty much like a one-to-one free personal training session.
Yeah.
And we meet and greet anyone that comes in that wants a membership ourselves. So one, we can't afford anyone to be here, but two, we want to know who's in our gym.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure we're providing that service to that people.
And also relatable, right? You can talk and relate to anybody who's coming in and whatever questions they've got.
And definitely. And I think the amount of people that come in and go, oh, I'm really, really nervous about joining the gym. I don't know what to do. And then when we get talking, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, you do like, I hate going to the gym. And like, what? I'm like, I hate going to the gym. When I didn't own a gym, if my bag was packed wrong, if I didn't have my headphones, if the battery was dead on my headphones, or I discovered something was missing when I got to the gym, I turn around and walk out. So it's not like I was this gym machine.
Yeah.
I had barriers that I had to struggle with every day. So that's how I know how to overcome these barriers.
So really, you're looking at like 5-6 years ago, personal experience, also your own work experience combined with that, because you've obviously found that fitness was something that helped you and was helping you, and then obviously the environment you were working in with different people, and then you got to the point where, talk us through how you actually got to here, this bit here, so this last bit, so how did that story of this gym come about?
So like I said, it was always a design in my head, and it took, like my sister said to me the other day, she was like, how do you know so much about mental health? Is there a course I can take? I was like, to be honest, it took 3 years of someone tearing my life apart and examining it with me, and then another 3-4 years of intensive exposure with all these different mental healths for me to realize, right, these are the similarities, this is how it works. So we sort of played on that idea of, how do we get people through the door? And that's what it was. So we had the opportunity to purchase this gym off of an old gym. So we went ahead and did that. Fortunately, like the kit and stuff was here.
Which is a brave decision in itself.
Yeah.
It came up.
Yeah, well, I was made redundant a year before we purchased it. So I was jumping back and forth between what I can do and trying to get Fitness in Mind off the ground. But sadly, it was a charity, so it needed a lot of trust money. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen. So it was sort of like a make and break moment to go for the gym. And then at the time, Neil was developing his stroke rehabilitation stuff as well. So we spoke this out to an investor who was really, really keen to go big on it. And then he sort of like took a step back.
Yep.
Okay. So he's like, all right, let's just do this then. We managed to get a bit of money off someone and sort of just went all in. Sort of took the risk.
Yeah.
But we do everything. So we do stroke rehabilitation here as well. So and the stuff that Neil does with his stroke survivors is absolutely crazy. And to the point that we're looking at it from a different approach. It's never been approached. If you go to any physiotherapy, especially with stroke, they'll look at the physical symptoms and they'll fix them and they'll absolutely negate the mental health side of things, to the point that Neil was coming to me for advice. And we was like, right, let's just combine the two.
Yeah.
I know how to work with people with mental health. You can do your stroke. So when you need advice, you come to me, I help you out, you give it back to your clients. And every now and then I will sit on one of Neil's stroke sessions. And I will look at it from another perspective to add more value to that session for that person.
Yeah, great.
And we did. We had one session where Neil was working really well, going through what you do. You get taught, so you teach people a certain way. And I just suggested something from the perspective from me. And Neil's open-minded. He was like, yeah, great, let's go for it. Next thing I know, this person was getting up by themselves. And without using their arms.
Yeah. Amazing.
So
the combination of you two working together with your experience, fusing it together, is kind of helping to
definitely
work on different angles and potentially accelerate some people.
And that was a sort of light bulb moment, and we realised that no one in the world was doing this, which is a bit of a pain, really.
So let's go to the point where you tell people the name. I know you've mentioned it before, but the name of the gym, where you're based, how people can get in contact with you, because one of the things this podcast is also about is exposing people to what they don't know. So definitely plug it. it's not shameless, it's nothing, it's go for it. Tell people how they can get in touch with you. They may, and all the things you've already talked about, we haven't even got into the next part of the podcast yet, but all the things already, I'm sure that's going to really, you know.
Yeah, no, so so the company is called Serene Fitness. And obviously it's the name of the gym as well, which is based in Romford, behind Smoky Shack, if anyone knows it. It's the biggest point of interest that people know. It's tucked away in a dingy little car park that no one really can see it. So people can just go onto our website, which is just serenefitness.co.uk, which is straightforward. Email us at hello@serenefitness.co.uk or phone us on 01708-755-379.
Nice. 397, sorry.
I even got it wrong.
It's all right. We can put all the links in the bottom of
and the website. But yeah, it's not just about this gym. Like, if people just want to inquire about what we can do from as well, because the gym is where we're at now. It's not where we started. We started without
a location. It's not
exactly. And like I said, it's our lab. This is where we test our ideas on ourselves and any willing client that wants to try new things.
And ultimately, who is, you've already said there's no barriers, so inclusive is definitely something you are, but ideally, who are the people that you think could benefit the most from Serene?
Yeah, so strangely, we try and get people that don't like using the gym, that have been turned away, put off. And someone, I'm honestly sick of hearing going, oh, I was at a gym, but I didn't know what to do, and I'll be like, why not? Why the hell was you allowed in that gym and be ignored. That's not what it should be about. Yeah. You should be having these instructors. So it's all about people that feel they've been left behind, even people that feel like they can't go to the gym, it's too intimidating, who would just like to go to the gym, or even people that don't want to go to the gym and just feel like a change. Yeah. We're here to support them. And it's not just physical. We're quite happy for someone to come in, have a chat, and then walk out the door, to be fair. We've experimented with loads of different things, and we've got loads of plans for the future, but sadly, financial restrictions at the moment.
Of course, we'll come to the future anyway, so don't worry about that. So there, James has talked about Serene Fitness, how it all got started, where it's based. So for anybody listening at that point, and is interested, then make sure you get in touch, and obviously I'll link up all the stuff below. We're now going to move on to the present. So where the point you're at right now in your business, I'm going to probably ask you some questions that you're not expecting, but that's all right. Just go with what you think and they don't have to. So the first one is how you're fairly new to this area, but how are you going to about or want to go about interacting with your local community?
Yeah, so I've already spoke with Active Havering. It was one of the first things I did.
Nice.
Because when I was in Essex, I was quite like influential part of some of their processes, a lot of their processes. So I wanted to reach out and offer my services to them. It wasn't come help me like run a gym. It was, this is what I can do. This is what I've done in the past. If you need me, I'm here. So that was great. They come down and they're the chair.
Have you heard much?
Yeah, no, they come down pretty much straight away. Sadly, not sadly, because what Active Havering do is great, but they deal with youth at the moment.
Okay.
And it's just one of them things. But like I said in the past.
You don't forget that you for your future customers anyway.
Yeah, indeed.
You've got to grow up. So.
And we'd love to do something with them. It's just hands are tied at the moment.
No, you've got to go to what your target is. So definitely makes sense.
And we've tried to run some mental health talk classes as well. So we're open to that, and we're open to go back to that. It's just finding time to structure that properly. I think it was a bit rushed job last time. We're very much open. We're sort of one of them, me and Neil as people are like, if we've got the time and we can afford to do it, it's not an issue. We'll run things for free if that's what
is needed, and you can see that it's helping and there's benefits.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. What could the local community do to help you? You're starting, you're new, we all need help along the way. What is it that they could do to get involved, help, whatever that might be?
Yeah, no, to be fair, just come have a chat with us. Even if you're at a gym at the moment, I can guarantee it's such a different eye-opener, such a different experience. I haven't spoken to anyone yet that hasn't taken up my membership after I've spoken to them.
Amazing.
And it's not hard selling because I have social anxiety. So I can never hard sell.
And also, this is like long conversation. So probably at the end of this, I'm going to be like, so should we talk about what you offer, what packages? Here's my bank card.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. So yeah, I can't hard sell. It's annoying because part of business, you need to be able to hard sell. But the way I operate is I tell people how I relate to them. And that tends to work. And I'm open and honest. And so is Neil. And that seems to be a real shock for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it works.
And I'm very much, as much as I would like to probably admit that I am a talker, I can't sell either. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling. And it's, again, it comes down to being open and honest. This is what you're going to get. This is how we're going to do it. Things aren't going to work straight away. Obviously, you've got to be honest. Things are not always going to work straight away. Things aren't going to take time. But that upfront and honesty then obviously leads to, okay. And what I found as well a couple of times is people go somewhere else, realise, and come back again.
Yeah, no.
Like, oh, actually.
I've struggled in the past making like a successful personal training career because I don't like charging people. I've given so much value to someone and got so much out of it that I feel guilty for charging someone because I enjoy helping people so much. And so does Neil. But sadly, that don't keep a roof above our head, annoyingly. And that's the sort of realisation we've come to, is that, oh, yeah, it's like, We need to charge people. So that's why we price the membership at what it is. It's not extortionate. And that's why we do what we do. We absolutely love it.
The episode isn't quite finished yet, but I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening. Please do head over and check out the guests' social media pages and websites. And of course, we'd love it if you would support this podcast by giving it a rate and review, or if you're checking this out on YouTube, subscribing. And if you'd like to get involved in the online conversation, you can use the hashtag E2LBusiness. Okay, back to the conversation, and don't forget to stick around to the end where James gets to get his own back by asking me any question about anything he wishes. One of the things that I'm always interested in, ask all my guests about, and it does kind of go off a little bit of a tangent, but it's about creativity. I think creativity is really important to any business. It doesn't necessarily always get the value or the insight that it needs to. How have you found, how do you find that you need to be creative in your business, and how much do you value it, or don't you, or don't value it? And that's...
No, I think the beauty about what we do is it's untapped. So we get to be as creative as possible. And we're encouraging people not to hate the gym. So you've got to have an element of flexibility there. You've got to create fun ways. And then no one, we're here to change people's quality of life. We're not here to make them gym bunnies. At the end of the day, if they come here, get their goals and leave us, if they've improved their quality of life, then that's job done. So you have to think outside the box. Definitely. You have to make activities fun. You have to, the way I teach nutrition as a personal trainer is you've got to put junk food in your diet, because otherwise you'll be miserable. Mm-hmm. and you're never going to stick to it. Mm-hmm. Same as your workout. You've got to do at least one exercise a day, if not a week, in your session that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. So you look forward to going and doing that. And if that's on the battle ropes, or as you can see in the gym, we've got battle ropes, climbing ropes, gymnastics rings. We've got sort of monkey bars in here, as well as your traditional kit. So mix it up.
You already mentioned as well before that you're into, this is what you call your lab.
Yeah.
You know, you're into trying and testing stuff, which is just a gateway to creativity anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that didn't work, but no worries.
Yeah.
Which kind of links nicely to the next question, which is a bit about, I suppose, things not working, but also how you kind of feel about that. Is, have you come to a point up till now that you've looked back and forth, or at that point where you think, I don't know if I can do this?
Every day.
I think.
To be fair, it's every day. But then something will happen. Might not be every day that something happens, but something will happen that week, or you'll get a message from someone, or an idea will crop into your head. And you're like, do you know what? No, I'm going to try that a little bit harder. I'm going to try that a little bit more. I'm going to try this. A gentleman that I'm training online, shoulder fine trainers, and wouldn't really talk and was quite quiet. And we train his wife, and they're absolutely lovely people, but you wouldn't get that until you know them. So I finally broke through that barrier.
Nice.
Knowing what I knew, I related to him. And now when I message him about his workouts, he's like, yeah, I love this workout. And it's discovering the unknown that keeps you going. Especially when you're working like mental health and stroke, you know that one inch could, like, in a real roundabout way, you that one crack in that wall, and you can see what's behind it. And that keeps you going. But yeah, no, every day is a battle. We've got no one we can follow, nobody that can guide us, because it's not been done. You can find inclusive gyms and things like that that are like, oh yeah, we'll do this, or it's a no stigma gym, but no one's truly doing it the way we are doing it. And sometimes
that brings its own problems anyway.
Yeah. And sometimes I wish there was more people that are doing it, so we could even copy them on some days, because it's so exhausting. Like, oh, let's just work out this person. And sometimes your marketing doesn't go the same way. You can follow someone's like 100% success thing, and it'll still go wrong.
It's still got to be about you and on your journey.
Yeah. And we haven't got like an ad copy that we can replicate, because there isn't a target audience out there at the moment.
And I don't think, not only you, but I don't think people should. I don't think replicating something is going to get you to where you want to be. It's going to get you to there where they got to, maybe. And also, what's coming across is how authentic and how unique this is, and so that it can't be copied.
Yeah, we haven't got this far, even though it's still not as far as we like. We haven't got this far following the rules. I've upset a lot of councils, governing bodies.
That means you're doing the right
thing. Yeah, because they've put these structures in line, and me and Neil, or me and Wayne, or me and someone else have gone, "You're wrong," and they're like, "No, we're not." Like, "You are wrong, and I'm going to prove it," and we do. Yes. And so that's what
I think. It's really important as well that lots of people I've spoken to as well, everybody always says, and I think this isn't something that is necessarily cascaded big enough, it's starting to get talked about more, is that we all have that feeling of wanting to quit or wanting to not do it anymore. Yeah. We all have the struggle, so we all struggle to whatever that wall is that we're coming across. We all have it in different ways, in different sizes, or whatever that might be. But the fact that we all do it, it's not plain sailing for anyone. And everybody, especially in business as well, is going through some kind of challenge that they need to overcome. Especially starting out, especially being new, especially taking a risk and, you know, jumping, well, like you have, straight into the deep end. Can you tell listeners something you as a business are struggling with? And what I mean by that is, again, we just touched on it, is that everybody's struggling with something. But the point of this question is not only to kind of establish what that might be, but is also to maybe put out there if somebody is listening that can help. So if there's something that you need help with, some insight, something that you can't or finding hard to get around this real time, that maybe there's someone that can listen that will give you a call or a text or whatever message and be like, you know what, I heard that and I can help.
Yeah, no, I think, fortunately, we're struggling with obviously awareness and getting people. We know where some of the issues are. Obviously, we don't have a big sign at the front of our building, so it can get lost. But we've got someone who's thankfully doing that for us. But it is literally getting it out there and people just taking it, like I said, people taking a chance and just coming to have a chat.
So basically, anybody who listens to this podcast, share it.
Yeah.
Share definitely about Serene Fitness, and you know that's half of a lot of your struggle right now.
Yeah, it's just exposure, really. Yeah,
I agree, and I think like that again, with so much going on, breaking through. But remember, you only need the crap to break through. And
I think someone said it only takes one match to burn 1,000 trees.
There you go.
And
keep striking.
Yeah.
So which links again nicely. How are you going about advertising your business? What would you like to do more of? What have you seen success in so far? Even the stuff that you have done.
Yeah. So frustratingly, we did have sort of a marketing budget that got absolutely destroyed through some complications.
Always.
That happened. But we've been doing leaflet drops. We've just put a big banner out the front there by the road. And also we've got someone doing a sign for us across our window. We've just invested into the Essex Live, is it, magazine? And we've got an actual back of the book and inside front cover of that.
Nice.
And we managed to negotiate a really good deal for that for a whole year. So that's going for out of whole of Avering.
Right.
And then your Essex is called, apologies. And
good helping hand by Neil there
in the background. Yeah. But we now chat more on social media.
I've seen.
We've now
we got chatting a lot more.
Yeah. We put more on that on our personal and on Serene One, and now we've stretched to online training as well. We're doing like free workshops and stuff through that. So we're trying to push ourselves. We admit that I hate social media because, once again, like a broken room, my social anxiety was like, no, don't do that because someone's going to judge it. Don't, like that video that you watched, I probably recorded that about 6 times, hated it every time I recorded it. I uploaded it twice wrong to start off with.
You found your way out.
I needed to do a workout afterwards just to calm myself down. My heart was pounding so much.
What was the response from that?
In terms of exposure, it was really good. People weren't so much aware of my story. They didn't realize how actually involved and personal my attachment was to what I do in like the mental health side of things. So it's really good in terms of that. It's good exposure for me. And now it's boosted me to pop like silly little things up. Like I did a little thing about Halloween snacks and how they're not really as bad as what people assume. Mm-hmm. And you can take them and put them into your everyday life. And someone just messaged me going, thanks, I'm going to use that now to sort of kick my curves. So rather than getting like a massive Snickers, I'll have a fun size Snickers mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even that sort of feedback was enough for me to keep going.
Do you, and this is kind of a roundabout question, but do you have a practical tip for anybody who wants to get into, I suppose, the gym, maybe, but also the gym as a business, which are both two extreme questions, I think.
Yeah.
And probably things you're self-discovering, but practical tip is, yeah, something I think is key that we, you know, a lot of people, we can talk about stuff, but actually can we give someone one bit of potential advice for them to go in action?
Yeah, I think what I've discovered a lot is know what they call in the industry as your avatar. Know who you really want to be. If you could pick one person to build something or do a business for, do it for that one person. And then naturally everyone else, because you're never going to turn away someone, but if you can find that perfect clientele, then you're always going to work with people you love.
Yeah.
You're always going to work with your perfect clientele. You'll have the odd people that comes in that that you'll always help. But if you have a perfect clientele in mind, I've definitely learned that a lot like recently, find your perfect clientele and you'll never hate working, because you'll always be working with the perfect clientele.
Okay. I think that's, definitely one of those practical tips. And as soon as you said it, it kind of lit a light bulb in my head. I was like, yeah, that's what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
So we've talked, obviously, in this section, it'd be about community, about creativity, about advertising, about struggles, about thinking about quitting, and then obviously about a practical tip. Moving on to the future now. So this is where you get to paint pictures of where you're going to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, and you get to make it up as well. So you get to kind of really go for it and hopefully tell people where you want to be in. So first of all, is what are you most excited about for Serene Fitness for the next 12 to 18 months? So not too far away, but far enough away.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've just launched sort of our online personal training where we're focusing on people more around home. So where people can't get to our gym or live too far or whatever, we want to work with them in their home. We know they're too anxious to go out to the gym. So that's the first stage. So we attack them sort of barriers at home, and we work with them online, away from it, and whatever form of communication. So that has literally been going the last couple of weeks, Neil, would you say? Last couple of weeks we've been developing that. So we've already got like 2-3 clients on there. We're developing that. we've got our lovely couple working on an app for us. We obviously don't want to release too much information about that app.
Keep it under your hat. That's all right.
Yeah. And we're going to see where the marketing goes for the gym. Hopefully that goes really well. So that's our sort of immediate future.
And what about this location? Because for anybody, let me just describe where we're sitting. I'm sitting on, I don't know, what do you call this?
A rubber mat. This is a box. Well, you'd call it a box, yeah.
A metal up box. And down on it and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Really, you can tell them what is all this. I'm hoping they're going to let me play on it afterwards.
Oh, yeah, by all means. We encourage it. In fact, anyone that comes in here, we would encourage them to have a play before they leave. Whether you get a membership or not, have a play.
What's in here?
We've had a delivery driver come in and have a play.
Why not?
So, yeah. So we've got monkey bars. We've got a multiple level chin-up bar. Just your box under chin-up bar, hanging ropes to climb, so climbing ropes. We've got ninja rings, we've got gymnastics rings, and we've got like a beer keg,
yes.
Couple of tires. We've also got your treadmills and your rowers and your ski erg, Aerodyne. These are names that people don't normally hear in the gym.
That's all right, if you don't know what it is, look up Serene Fitness.
Yeah, definitely. And then you have your normal stuff behind us. So you've got your plate loaded weights and your dumbbells and your cable crossover. Everything you need to get where you need to go. There's no.
And then link back to the question, which was, so what's your plan for this? So you've talked about stuff going out, which is your online and your app. classified, need to know basis only at the moment. But the actual location, what do you hope for it? What do you want it to look like? See.
Yeah. So to be fair, like we said, it's our lab, so we're not looking at hugely developing it. Obviously, we've pretty much filled up with kit, so we intend to look after the kit a bit more, maybe swap some equipment about, improve some bits, but it's mainly about getting people in here and finding what they need. Yeah. And then we can develop it from there, and then hopefully start running some classes and things like that from here properly. We do offer classes, but just the membership numbers, it's sort of, I'll come in, if you want to run the class, we'll run it just you at the end of the day. If you don't, then you've got a gym to play with.
Yeah, nice. What's one bit of advice you can give to anybody who wants to start a business? So not necessarily, it doesn't have to necessarily be gym or fitness, but anything. What's one thing you've maybe learned and one thing you can give
to definitely someone that's quite meticulous and didn't do it this time around. Work your systems out, for Christ's sake. Work out how you're going to get people through the door, process the, through that business, sell that product, see it through the end, upsell, whatever, however that sort of train of getting someone to the product sold and aftercare, just put it on paper.
Get it down. Get your idea down. Yeah. But flesh it out as much.
Try
as you
not
can.
To wing it too much, because you'll go off topic, and then you'll end up with 30 different pathways for like one product, when really it should just be one pathway. And Neil's laughing in the corner because he knows full well what happened the first month or so here. We had like 6 different memberships and 4 different ways of buying this membership, and we're like, no, right, one membership, one payment method, nice. Job done.
Nice. What else are you most excited about in the future? So beyond the 18 months, what's your plan for long term?
So we're looking forward to just increasing that sort of care that we can give. I get now asked to become key speaker for NHS Talk, so I'm looking to do more of that stuff and give my time to that. Nice. Neil has got some stroke survivors that are coming towards like the end of their first lot of training, where you can see like the most development. So he gets to like sort of shout about them. So it's just literally racking up the numbers of people that we help.
It's about, I think as well, the balance is of course you need to get people through the door. It's a business. But at the end of the day, the more people you get in and the more stable you get, actually the more time you'll be able to give to help the people as much as you want to.
Yeah.
So you're always helping them, but more, and like you said.
Yeah, like there's, it's always, someone asks me all the time, like, what I want to do personally. I want to earn enough money so I'm comfortable.
Always.
And then be able to invest my time back into people.
100%, I agree. And that's exactly almost the same as what I want. I don't want to be, I'm not after rich and fame.
Yeah.
I'm not after being a, you know, multimillionaire necessarily, but if I can do what I love and then put it back into helping.
Yeah, definitely. And if I can afford to train people for free and it's going to make so much more value to that person, then I will.
Yeah. Right. Two more questions. One is, it's just a bit of a scenario question, and this is definitely a bit out of the blue, but this is really to help people, younger people that are starting out. Yeah, it's a scenario question. If someone's just come out of school, out of college, out of uni, and don't really know what direction they want to turn in or where they want to go, how would you say they should take a leap or try and stand out to get to where they want to go, wherever that might be?
Yeah, no, definitely. In fact, I was thinking about this because I've got a young boy. He's not even 2 yet, but how would I direct him in the future? And it's definitely find out what you love to do and make a career out of it. Absolutely, 100%. Find out, it doesn't matter whether people around you say it's worthless. If you can make a career out of something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. It's an old cliche saying, but so true. At the moment, I don't get a penny for stepping foot in this gym. And yet I come here practically every day after my second job to sit, work with clients. And if I didn't like it, I would have stopped.
Yeah, of course. You wouldn't have got off the ground.
Yeah.
The last question, I prepped you a little bit before. Yeah. Is your question back to me. You get a chance to throw me under the bus if you like. You get to do whatever. Ask me any question you want. I'll answer it, and then we'll kind of wrap things up.
Yeah, it's like, I feel a bit mean because as someone from social anxiety, this is like the worst possible outcome for me to be on the end of. So I know, so for me to do it to you, I feel quite mean.
All my guests have done it too, so it's fine. I'm expecting at least.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So obviously I always like to know a bit more about how people cope with their sort of mental well-being. So what do you do that makes you happy when you're at your lowest?
Very good question. And very good question because maybe, and I don't know, I am someone who thinks they are very positive, very see the shiny part of the world, and probably a bit naive sometimes that I don't linger on the dark parts of what life throws at you. But I don't know, and this maybe come from my past. This is probably getting really deep now. I don't even know.
This is what people with mental health tends to do to others.
But I don't know why this is, but I very much rely on me. I've got a lot, like, great family, solid. I mean, I just started a football team with my family.
So yeah.
My family, we're a solid family. I've got, it's not anything about, it's more about my own belief. So I dig deep and basically say any problem that I'm faced is for me to deal with. It's whether people are helping me or not, which is always great, is for me to ask for the help, is for me to approach the people, is me to figure out the way I want to go about dealing with it, or in a good way or a bad way. So I think when I'm at my lowest, I think I probably think about people that are probably lower in there, a lower place than me, and that helps me get some perspective.
Self-reflection.
And then go, okay, well, things aren't ever as bad as you think they are necessarily. Yeah. Because there's other things going on in the world that are 10 times bad, and you are lucky, I suppose. I deem myself as very lucky, whatever I do.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's right or wrong.
There isn't a wrong. Mine's computer games at the end of the day. I resort to computer games.
Yeah, I don't know if that's glossing over the question or not, because I don't really necessarily know if how low my lows are in comparison to other people's lows.
So what would you do naturally to sort of to just be like happier then?
I love to play, and it'll be anything. Lego, it'll be draw, it'll be make videos, it'll be have ideas are my go-to, like dream something else up, make something.
Yeah, if you need a pick-me-up, you'll make.
Yeah. That's probably my thing.
Yeah.
Great, you have been a great guest, really inspiring. I'm rooting for you already. Serene Fitness, 100%. Your story, where you got to, your intent, what you're trying to do is admirable and very inspiring. So I'm really hoping people listen to this, get in touch.
I appreciate it.
And I wish you all the best for the future. We're probably going to go off camera now and talk about stuff anyway, because I'm really interested now. I wish you all the best.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And all the best.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And of course, we would love your support by subscribing. Don't forget to reach out to us at Simply Create using the hashtag E2LBusiness. And of course, if you are a business owner based in Essex or London, or know someone who is and would make a great guest, then get in touch. And we'll be back with another episode soon.